With me in your Bibles, please, to 2 Kings chapter 15. Second Kings chapter 15, verse 1. Hear now the inerrant, infallible, and inspired word of God. In the 27th year of Jeroboam, king of Israel, began Azariah, the son of Amaziah, king of Judah, to reign. 16 years old was he when he began to reign, and he reigned 52 years in Jerusalem. And his mother's name was Jecoliah of Jerusalem. And he did that which was right in the sight of the Lord according to all that his father Amaziah had done, save that the high places were not removed, the people sacrificed, and burnt incense still on the high places. And the Lord smote the king, so that he was a leper unto the day of his death, and dwelt in a several house. And Jotham, the king's son, was over the house, judging the people of the land. And the rest of the acts of Azariah, and all that he did, are they not written in the book of the Chronicles of the kings of Judah? So Azariah slept with his fathers, and they buried him with his fathers in the city of David, and Jotham, his son, reigned in his stead. In the 38th year of Azariah, king of Judah, did Zechariah, the son of Jeroboam, reign over Israel in Samaria 6 months. And he did that which was evil in the sight of the Lord, as his fathers had done. He departed not from the sins of Jeroboam, the son of Nebat, who made Israel to sin. And Shallum, the son of Jabesh, conspired against him, and smote him before the people, and slew him, and reigned in his stead. And the rest of the acts of Zechariah, behold, they are written in the book of the Chronicles of the kings of Israel. This was the word of the Lord which he spoke, or spake unto Jehu, saying, Thy sons shall sit on the throne of Israel unto the fourth generation. And so it came to pass. Shallum, the son of Jabesh, began to reign in the 39th year of Uzziah, king of Judah, and he reigned a full month in Samaria. For Menahem, the son of Gadi, went up from Tirzah and came to Samaria, and smote Shallum, the son of Jabesh, in Samaria, and slew him, and reigned in his stead. And the rest of the acts of Shallum and his conspiracy which he made, behold, they are written in the book of the Chronicles of the kings of Israel. Then Menahem smote Tifsah and all that were therein, and the coasts thereof from Tirzah, because they opened not to him. Therefore he smote it, and all the women therein that were with child he ripped up. In the 39th year of Azariah, king of Judah, began Menahem, the son of Gadi, to reign over Israel, and he reigned 10 years in Samaria. And he did that which was evil in the sight of the Lord. He departed not all his days from the sins of Jeroboam, the son of Nebat, who made Israel to sin. And Pul, the king of Assyria, came against the land. And Menahem gave Pul 1,000 talents of silver, that his hand might be with him to confirm the kingdom in his hand. And Menahem exacted the money of Israel, even of all the mighty men of wealth, of each man 50 shekels of silver to give to the king of Assyria. So the king of Assyria turned back and stayed not there in the land. And the rest of the acts of Menahem and all that he did, are they not written in the book of the Chronicles of the kings of Israel? And Menahem slept with his fathers, and Pekahiah his son reigned in his stead. In the 50th year of Azariah, king of Judah, Pekahiah, the son of Menahem, began to reign over Israel in Samaria, and reigned 2 years. And he did that which was evil in the sight of the Lord. He departed not from the sins of Jeroboam, the son of Nebat, who made Israel to sin. But Pekah, the son of Remaliah, a captain of his, conspired against him and smote him in Samaria, in the palace of the king's house, with Argob and Ariah, and with him 50 men of the Gileadites, and he killed him and reigned in his room. And the rest of the acts of Pekahiah and all that he did, behold, they are written in the book of the Chronicles of the kings of Israel. In the 52nd year of Azariah, king of Judah, Pekah, the son of Remaliah, began to reign over Israel in Samaria, and he reigned 20 years. And he did that which was evil in the sight of the Lord. He departed not from the sins of Jeroboam, the son of Nebat, who made Israel to sin. In the days of Pekah, king of Israel, came Tiglath-Pileser, king of Assyria, and took Ijon, and Abel-Meth-Maacah, and Janoah, and Kadesh, and Hazor, and Gilead, and Galilee, and all the land of Naphtali, and carried them captive to Assyria. And Hoshea, the son of Elah, made a conspiracy against Pekah, the son of Remaliah, and smote him, and slew him, and reigned in his stead in the 20th year of Jotham, the son of Uzziah. And the rest of the acts of Pekah, and all that he did, behold, they are written in the book of the Chronicles of the kings of Israel. In the second year of Pekah, the son of Remaliah, king of Israel, began Jotham, the son of Uzziah, king of Judah, to reign. 25 years old was he when he began to reign, and he reigned 16 years in Jerusalem, and his mother's name was Jerusha, the daughter of Zadok. And he did that which was right in the sight of the Lord. He did according to all that his father Uzziah had done. Howbeit, the high places were not removed. The people sacrificed and burnt incense still in the high places. He built the higher gate of the house of the Lord. Now the rest of the acts of Jotham and all that he did, are they not written in the book of the Chronicles of the kings of Judah? In those days the Lord began to send against Judah Rezin, the king of Syria, and Pekah, the son of Remaliah. And Jotham slept with his fathers and was buried with his fathers in the city of David his father, and Ahaz his son reigned in his stead. May God add his blessing to the reading and to the hearing of his most holy word. All right, well, let's begin then where the chapter begins with King. Well, this king has two names. In some instances, he is called Azariah, and in other instances, he is called Uzziah. And you'll see his story if you'd like to read it more fully in First Chronicles chapter 26. First Chronicles 26. Has the story of Uzziah. It doesn't say a lot about him here, except that we find that he did that which was right in the sight of the Lord. He had a zeal in some cases. He had a lack of zeal in other cases. Okay, let's put it this way. He had a godly zeal in some cases. He had a lack of zeal in other cases. And he had too much zeal in other cases. So he was a man that had all three things working for him. He didn't come up where he should have come up. He was good in some areas, and then in other areas he went beyond the boundaries that the Lord had set for kings. As we read his story in 1 Chronicles 26, we understand that he had conducted a battle. He had been blessed by the Lord with a victory. His zeal for the house of the Lord and the reformation that took place under his reign was a good reformation, although, as we read, it was not a complete reformation. It was not a complete reformation in that he did not outlaw, and yes, as the king in Israel, he had the authority to do so. He did not outlaw the worship of the people in the high places. People still sacrificed in the high places. Now, you have to understand, this is not necessarily idolatrous in the first sense. It's idolatrous in the second sense. I do, in my thinking, separate what I call first class and second class idolatry. Now, they're both sins. But first class idolatry is worshiping another god. Right? That's first commandment violation. The second commandment, violating the second commandment, is worshiping the Lord in a way that he has not commanded. Yes, that is still idolatry, but it is not as heinous as worshiping another god. You understand that? So we have then the people sacrificing in the high places when the Lord had commanded through David and through Moses that sacrifices are to be brought to Jerusalem, to the temple, to the tabernacle, and so on, and that there was a time while at one time it was all right for the people to sacrifice in their homes or around their homes or in connection with their homes during the days of the patriarchs. We see Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob doing that. We see Job doing that and so on. That there was a time when that was to stop. The Lord changed the way He wanted His people to worship. And so He commanded them to bring all of their offerings to Jerusalem. And so in all of those synagogues that were spread throughout all of Israel, there was not one sacrifice that was lawful for the people to do there. Now what happened was these things became hotbeds of idolatry. The people sacrificing in the high places, it became a very simple matter to move beyond simply sacrificing to Yahweh in the high places to sacrificing to other gods as well. And in very many instances in the Old Testament, we see this taking place. So if the Lord has indeed ordered that His worship should be performed, that there are some things that are right for everywhere, singing of psalms, prayer, so on, but that there are other things that are not right for everywhere, the administration of the sacraments, the corporate worship holds things that are not that would not be right in other locations, then we are, as God's people under the second commandment, to obey those things. So Uzziah, Azariah, did not forbid, and neither did his son Jotham after him, did not take enough steps in the Reformation to make it a complete Reformation. They allowed the people to continue their sacrifices in the high places. Well, there was several things that Azariah did, Uzziah did, that were good and worthy and right. And what happened was, like many of us, he got himself puffed up because of the good and worthy and right things that he did, that the Lord enabled and strengthened him to do. The Lord gave him opportunity, and his heart was lifted up. And so he thought that there was not the same kind of separation that he should have thought between himself and the priests. And in 1 Chronicles 26, we read that he went into the temple to burn incense. And the priests were there, the Levites were there, and they warned him. They said, King Uzziah, it appertaineth not unto thee to burn incense before the Lord. And he went in anyway. He blurred the lines between officers in the church and officers in the state. And even in the theocracy in ancient Israel, those were to be kept separate. And so what happened was leprosy arose in his forehead. And it says that he ran out of the temple white as snow. He was a leper until the day of his death, and he lived in a several house. To burn incense before the Lord when you ought not to was punishable by what in the Old Testament? That's right, death. As a matter of fact, there was some brass on the sides of the altar that belonged to men that were killed when fire came out from the altar of the Lord and burnt them up. Because they were illicitly burning incense before the Lord. And so what God gave to Uzziah was a living death. That's what leprosy is, or was in ancient Israel. It was a living death. He lived apart, cast out from the land of the living in a several, that is a separate house, all the days of his life. And his son Jotham reigned not in his stead, but as his viceroy, as his vicegerent. He reigned while Uzziah was alive, because Uzziah could not come and take his place among the living. Then we move on to the northern kingdom. Well, the lesson there is obvious, right? We don't press out of our station. That's the lesson. And we're content with the stations that the Lord has given us. And I, as a pastor, I will tell you, I have seen countless times and much grief and heartache caused by that one principle, people not being content with their stations. All right, so then we move on to the northern kingdom. And what chaos. Oh, what chaos and you know, a ruling by assassination we see in the northern kingdom. While we have one king, we have five go by in the north. One in the south and five go by in the north, and only one of those dies in his bed. An old man, of natural, we might say, causes. The rest of them were assassinated. While there are six kings spoken of, five of those went by while Uzziah was among the living dead in his several house, in his parted house. So, we have all of these men that pass by, and let's just notice a couple of things about them. First of all, they are evil. Every one of them is wicked. Every one of them supports and furthers the religion of Jeroboam, which was indeed an idolatrous religion. Now, it is arguable as to whether it was first-class or second-class idolatry. I'm inclined to believe it was second-class idolatry. They were indeed still calling on the name of Yahweh. They still called him their God. And the reason I think that is because we see God blessing them, even though they have fallen into second commandment violations. We do see, and we saw especially last week, that God was blessing the nation of Israel, although they were following the sins of Jeroboam. The second thing I'd like to point out to you is that every one of these men dies by conspiracy, with the exception of Menachem. And they die by conspiracy because there is indeed this great unrest, and because the rule of law is no longer in force for choosing kings. And once the rule of law goes away, then everything is up for grabs. We see even in Menachem, when the enemies of Israel, when Syria gathers around him, what does he do? He applies to the king of Assyria, right? And what does the king of Assyria do? He says, yeah, I'll come help you. And he has to buy him off with 5,000 talents of silver. Where does he get the 5,000 talents of silver? Well, there's no rule of law in the land, so he exacts that from the rich men. He taxes the rich. Have you ever heard of that? And we see that as a sign of wickedness, don't we? He places it all on the backs of the rich men. And he says, come and give me your silver. He makes them give up their silver. So rapacious is this man that when he ascended to the throne by assassination, and some of the cities around him had the audacity to say, you know, your reign is illicit. He took his army, marched into town, and tore up the pregnant women. We don't tear up pregnant women today. We just tear up their children. You see, this is a sign of judgment. This is a sign of judgment upon our own land, that we have wicked rulers that do what? Exact of us taxes that are beyond the rule of law and tear up our children. These are signs that we are a nation also under judgment. So then we see a little bit later on, in Menachem's very son, Pekah, that what happens at that time? What happens during the reign of Pekah after his father dies? His father reigns 10 years, he dies, Pekah takes his place, reigns 20 years. What happens during the reign of Pekah? Oh, the Assyrians come back, except this time they come in as the oppressor, making leagues with the unrighteous. Never works. And so we have Menachem making a league with the unrighteous and exacting money from God's people to do so, tearing up women and their young, and then dying and leaving a mess to his son, who then is attacked by the very one that his father had paid off. You see the irony that the Lord is bringing upon Israel for their sins against him. How many times have we seen this in our day? We as a nation who have turned away from the Lord, we've already seen two instances of similarity. How about our enemies, those that we have bought off to become our friends, becoming later our enemies? Have we seen that? Yes, we have. So then, what we want to take from this center section of the the overturning and the overturning and the chaos and the difficulty and the people attacking their own people. We want to see that any nation that will not call upon the name of the Lord, any nation that will flout His laws and turn away from Him will come under like forms of judgment. Let us as a nation repent and turn from our wickedness as well. All right, then the chapter ends with Jotham. And Jotham is a man like his father was. A good reformation, but not a great reformation. A partial reformation. And so the Lord sends evil against him. He sends the Syrians and also Israel during his day. Pekah of Remaliah. Oh, I'm sorry. Pekahiah was the son of Menachem. The reason in this chapter it's always Pekah, the son of Remaliah, is to distinguish him from Pekahiah, which is exactly what I didn't do. So I apologize for that. But the son of Menachem was Pekahiah, and he was the one that received the invasions of Assyria. Okay, so then Jotham. There are some Old Testament scholars that believe that the attacks upon Jerusalem that came in the days of Jotham are memorialized in Obadiah. Dr. Gleason Archer is of that belief. I'm not. I think Obadiah refers to the captivity. But there are those who do believe that. But Jotham also receives difficulty in his day. Again, partial reformation, partial reclamation of that which is righteous will not do. Brothers and sisters, we must be about a full reformation. We must not content ourselves in half measures as Uzziah did and as his son Jotham did. All right, thus ends the reading then of 2 Kings chapter 15. Let's stand and continue praising God in the singing of Psalms. Psalm